Take your Bibles, if you will, if you haven't kept them open, and turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. It is something that had popped into my mind of late from this passage about the efforts that people make in trying to cover themselves physically, but then also covering themselves spiritually. Each of us has come dressed to the service. Each of us different, but also similar. Every one of us is covered from the tip of our toes up to our neck with clothing, which is appropriate, without a doubt. Yet each of us are wearing different clothing, aren't we? Different styles of clothing. And that's the way we are as human beings. The world is not necessarily the same way, is it? They're different in a lot of respects, and a lot of times you'll see people, and sometimes you wish you wouldn't see them because of how little they're wearing. And it's this idea that there is shame connected with the human body, not because we've been created in God's image, but because of the sin that we've committed, that had started with Adam and Eve. And that shame is something that mankind has been trying to cover up ever since. It's something that we've been doing since Adam and Eve. And certainly it's a good thing that we cover our bodies, without a doubt. And we can see the spirituality of someone not based on the clothing that they do wear, but a little bit about the clothing they don't wear, about the immodesty that they may have. But that's not, we're not talking about modesty tonight. We're talking about what we do about the shame, what we do about our sin. So I'm going to read Genesis 3 for us, up to the 21st verse, and we're going to see the context of things and then look more closely at what Adam and Eve do in making fig leaves for themselves. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." So this is obviously, I'm sure, for each one of us, a very familiar passage. It's the context doesn't need a lot of talking about. It is a situation where Adam and Eve have been created, and they have been placed in the Garden of Eden by the Lord, and they are there living a perfect life. We don't know, we're not told how long they're there until sin comes. We don't know if it's a span of days or weeks or months or years. We have absolutely no idea as to that time frame. But at some point, Satan comes and he beguiles the serpent to allow him to be in his body. And he speaks to the woman. And he speaks to the woman and says, should you not eat of every tree of the garden? And of course the woman responds, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst we're not allowed to eat. God has said, you shall not eat it because you will die. And the serpent says, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And it's that statement by Satan, a statement by the serpent, where it is deceiving Eve and leading her to think that what God said wasn't right. And she's deceived and she eats of the fruit of the tree. And it's in a very simple manner. It says in verse 6, and she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And it just goes from one over very quickly to Adam, and he eats of the fruit of the tree, and he does it with knowledge. He knows exactly what he's doing. He wasn't deceived. We don't know, we're not told, it doesn't seem that he was privy to the conversation between the serpent and Eve. But when she's eaten of the fruit, and she brings it to him to eat, he knows exactly what it is. And he eats of the fruit, full willing. And at that point comes the knowledge that they have disobeyed the Lord. And that's the true sin. It's not that the fruit of the tree was necessarily good or bad. It is the disobedience of God. That was the sin of Adam. That was the burden that he has taken it upon himself. It is to disobey or to disbelieve what God has said. And that's the sin of mankind ever since, is to disbelieve the word of God, to disbelieve what he has said about himself and how we are to follow him. His sin brought great judgment. It brought great judgment upon himself, brought great judgment upon Eve, and brought great judgment upon the world. It is Adam's fault, if you will. That's who was at blame. It wasn't Eve that was at blame. She was deceived. Adam was to blame because he wasn't deceived. And because of that, sin enters. And it enters so much that the earth is cursed because of Adam's sin. And we've been dealing with that curse ever since. And we will deal with that curse until the return of the Lord. But it's not just the curse of the earth, it's the curse of sin and the curse of death. Romans 5, we're told, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And what Paul is saying there is that you and I have inherited sin from Adam. It has been passed from him all the way down through the ages to us. We were born in sin. We were born sinners. Not only were we born sinners, we have confirmed it with our deeds. We followed through with the actions. It is something that we were born indeed as sinners, and now we have lived with the deeds of sin ourselves. And our sin is just like Adam's sin. Every sin we've committed is the same as the sin that Adam committed. It is disobedience to God's word. It's disobedience to what he has said. It is a horrible situation that every human being is under. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's who we are. You think about Adam and Eve's actions after they have sinned. Their eyes are opened, it says. Well, I would have much rather had closed eyes than what they went through. But their eyes are open. They knew that they had done wrong. They now know good and evil. And it's a shocking thing because the serpent tempts them to say that you'll know good and evil, as if that's a good thing. Up to this point, what had they known? They had known good. They had known good. That's all they knew. They didn't know evil even existed. They didn't understand anything about it. All they knew was good. They knew the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. And they walked and talked with Him. That's an amazing thing. And now their eyes are open to evil because they have committed it themselves. They've disobeyed God. And as they do, they find themselves to be naked and they feel shame. Now think about it for a moment. Just a few moments before, there was no shame. It's the same exact body. Nothing happened in the interim. There was nothing that changed from 5 minutes before to 5 minutes after eating the fruit to change their bodies. But suddenly there's shame. Why? The shame of disobedience. There's certainly shame of nakedness, and mankind has felt that shame ever since. And really it's rooted in that disobedience. Because God has created us to be something, and now we're not that. Now we're not what He has created us to be. And there's that shame that comes through with that. And so what do? They make themselves clothings. They make themselves aprons of fig leaves. You have to wonder, have fig leaves ever done a good job of covering any body? They haven't, have they? And even in this case, they don't do a good job of covering Adam and Eve. And really, at the root of it, is they've used a physical thing to try and cover a spiritual reality. They've tried to do something on the outside to cover what happened on the inside. They can't cover shame, can you? You can cover your body as much as you want, but you can't cover shame because it's an internal thing. And it's a shame for their sin that they can't do anything about. And no matter how nicely they sewed their fig leaves together, it's not going to be sufficient to deal with shame. Not only did they sew fig leaves together and hide, they hid from God. As if that's possible. As if it's possible to go somewhere on this planet or somewhere in this universe where God is not. He is the creator of it all. He is the one that hung the stars in place. There is no place that you can go from God. There is no place that you can run. The psalmist talks about it, doesn't it? I can go as far as the east is from the west and you're there. I can go to the heights and you're there, and to the depths and you are there. And the psalmist is declaring it in a positive sense because your right hand is there to guide me. But there is no place to hide from God. Even in Revelation, it talks about the people that are opposed to God, and they see the Lamb and the face of the Lamb, and they cry for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the Lamb. They still don't understand. There is no place to hide from God. There's no place for you to go where you can escape who He is. Not only that, they sew fig leaves together, and then they hide from God, and then they blame other people for their actions. Right? Isn't that what people do constantly? It's blaming somebody else. It's so-and-so's fault. It's so-and-so's fault. So God comes to Adam, and Adam says, "What is it that you've done? Who told you that you were naked? What is it you've eaten of the tree I've told you not to?" And what does he say? "The woman that you gave me has given me of the fruit, and I ate." So in that sentence, what is he doing? He's blaming two people for his sin. He's blaming his wife, and he's blaming God. Neither of whom were at fault for Adam's sin. Who was at fault for Adam's sin? Adam was. Just him. No one else. And God, he says, "Okay, Adam, you're blaming your wife, and we're not going to talk about the fact that you're blaming me, but let me talk to Eve." And say, so he says to Eve, "What is it that you've done?" And she said, "Well, the serpent beguiled me. It's his fault. And I ate." And so God turns to the serpent, and the serpent, he doesn't even get a chance to respond. And God says, "You're cursed because of this. And because of this, you're going to go on your belly and you're going to go in the dust, and there is going to be enmity. There's going to be an uncomfortableness between you and mankind forever. And not only that, you are going to bruise the heel of the one that is to come to redeem mankind, but he is going to crush your head. He is going to have the ultimate victory." That's the first time the gospel is mentioned. It's a shame that it's mentioned that quickly, isn't it? That quickly in this great book of God, with the third chapter in the gospel, already has to be mentioned. because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And of course, God goes back and he works backward. He says, because of this, the serpent is cursed. Because of this, the women are cursed because of Eve, because of her sin. They're going to have great sorrow in conception and in childbirth, and the husband is going to rule over them. And then he turns to Adam and he curses everything else because of Adam's sin. He curses everything else because of Adam's sin. Thorns and thistles. And I'm not going to make any comments about Scotland having thistles as their flower, but that's a strange thing to me from America. But here it is. Here is the situation. Sin is now the order of the day. Sin is now the order of the day. And God then makes coats of skins and clothes Adam and Eve. And so death does come. At this point, the perfect bodies of Adam and Eve are now on the pathway of death. It's going to take hundreds of years, almost a millennium, for them to actually die. But the ground is cursed, so things are going to start dying. But the first death comes when God kills an animal. We're not told which animal it is, but God kills an animal and makes coats of skins for Adam and Eve, showing us that there is the need for the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. That's the thing that he does. So what do we do? What do we do as human beings? Well, we follow Adam's footsteps. We follow his footsteps constantly. We disobey God and sin against him. We don't believe fully. We trust Christ. I hope each one of us here trusts Christ. But yet there are things in our life where we disobey. Disobedience is disbelief. It is a consequence. I think I know better than God knows. I think I know better. I think I'm going to enjoy this better than what God says. I think I should go this way instead of the path God has laid out. And we sin against him. And what do? We do the same thing Adam and Eve did. We blame other people. We'll blame circumstances. We'll blame anybody we can blame. But we try to cover our shame. We try to cover our shame just like they did. Ever since the attempt by Adam and Eve to hide their shame, mankind has been attempting to hide our shame for sin. We're not talking about clothing. We're not talking about the things we're wearing right now. We're talking about the things we do to try and hide the fact that we're sinners. We do works of righteousness. We can see it in the world around us all over. We can see it in all sorts of places where they think that's Christianity, is doing good things. They think that somehow in this country or in that country, good works are the answer. But the Bible tells us that we are all as an unclean thing in Isaiah, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We try to hide the fact that we've done wrong by doing good. You realize that when we do it because we've done wrong, we're doing it for the wrong reasons, and therefore it's not good. It might look like a good deed on the outside, but it is not a good deed. You can think about all sorts of people throughout history that have been an amazing human being and done amazing things, and yet did not know God. The Bible says all their righteousness is as a filthy rag. Every single thing they've done. Why? Because they have not done it for the Lord Jesus Christ. They've done it for themselves to cover their shame. It's a fig leaf. That's all it is. They've made fig leaves for themselves of works of righteousness to try and hide the fact that they're sinners. If you're not trusting Christ and doing all things unto him, then you are doing things to self. That's what you're doing. So they're doing works of righteousness constantly. Not only do they do that to try and hide the shame, we justify ourselves by comparison. My family of origin is really, really good at this. They will look at somebody and they will do everything in their power to put that person down. They will find any flaw, any little chink in their armor, and they will highlight it. And they'll make big deals about it, just so they feel better about themselves. Because if they're able to put somebody else down, then that means they must be better than them. And that's exactly what we do. The perfect example of this is in Luke 18 with the publican and the sinner. You know the story, don't you? Here is the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee is there and he's crying and he's saying, "Lord, I'm so good. I do all these wonderful things for you, and I thank you that I'm not like that poor guy over there who's a sinner." And the sinner is over there and he won't even lift his eyes and he cries out to be forgiven. We're like the Pharisee. We're constantly trying to justify ourselves by comparing ourselves to people who are worse than us. And guess what? We're always going to find people that are worse than us. It's an easy thing to do, but we have to be very careful not to. We have to look at ourselves and judge ourselves. We have to judge who we are before the Lord. And who we are before the Lord are sinners. Think of Isaiah when he comes before the Lord in Isaiah 6. And he's already been converted in my mind. He's already been converted and he's there before the Lord. And what does he say? He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." He sees himself, his own sin, and he burdens himself before the Lord for forgiveness. You see, people are trying to cover their shame with the works of righteousness. We try and cover our shame by pointing out the shame of others, to draw attention to theirs instead of ours. We do it by gaining wealth. You know, one of the films that I enjoy is My Fair Lady. I don't know if you've ever seen My Fair Lady. It's a musical, and I love musicals. But in this, the Professor Higgins, he takes this flower girl who is dirty and very, very poor, and makes it and passes her off as a duchess. And it's this idea that somehow or other he has changed fundamentally who she is. And in the film, of course, he has. She can speak properly and she can talk properly and she can interact properly with people. But yet she's the same person. She hasn't changed, and neither has the professor. In reality, they are exactly who they are. And constantly in the world, we're constantly trying to do things. We're trying to gain wealth and to put on nicer clothes and to drive nicer cars and deliver nicer houses. And by doing all that, everybody thinks, "Oh, that's a nice thing. He's an upstanding member of society. Yeah, well, look at that guy. Look at that girl. They're really nice." If you saw somebody who was down in the gutter, you think, "Well, I'm going to walk on the other side of the road over here." What's the difference? There is none. They're sinners before the eyes of God. What we've done is we've hidden the shame. We've hidden the shame by all the trappings of wealth. We do it by works of righteousness. We do it by comparing ourselves to others. We do it by working hard and gaining nice things to outfit ourselves with. We do it by religion. When you think about this, it's the Pharisees, we give the Pharisees a really hard time because they deserve it, right? Jesus is constantly calling them hypocrites. He's constantly pointing out their sin. But if we didn't have the words of Christ about the Pharisees, we would have thought, "Boy, look at the Pharisees. There are some really good individuals. There are some people that are really moral. They are the cream of society." That's exactly how everybody in their day thought of them, until John the Baptist comes along and until Jesus comes along. Until they point out the hypocrisy, everybody thinks the Pharisees are the good in society. Well, with that religion, that religiosity of the Pharisees, that's exactly what people today do. And they clothe themselves with it. They clothe themselves by going to church. They clothe themselves by all the trappings. And what they're doing is they're hiding their shame. They're sowing fig leaves. That's all they're doing. Atheism, the anger of atheism, it's the same thing. It's sowing a fig leaf to say, "Hell, there is no God." When in reality, they're angry with God about something almost invariably. And then we shift blame, just like Adam and Eve shifted blame. It's so-and-so's fault. It's because of my upbringing. It's because of my parents. It's because of this didn't go right. It's because this went wrong. And suddenly all the blame for our wrong actions lays at someone else's feet. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We try to clothe ourselves with all of these things, and it's maybe improving ourselves in our own eyes. And maybe it's improving ourselves in the eyes of others. But it's not improving ourselves in the eyes of God. It's not improving ourselves before Him. There is nothing that you can do in and of yourself to sew fig leaves together to hide yourself from God. He knows exactly who we are. And God's response to the fig leaves is different than the world's response. It's different than Adam and Eve's response. God makes a sacrifice. God requires the death of an animal to make proper clothing for Adam and Eve. Clothing that will endure. This is the first death in the Bible, and God sacrifices that animal because sin causes death. It's taught over and over and over again. Death has reigned over mankind since Adam's sin. In Hebrews 9:22, we're told that almost all things are purged, are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. No sin is taken away without the remission. No sin is taken away without the shedding of blood. And those sacrifices in the Old Testament were there pointing towards the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve's sacrifice that God makes for them here, it covers until a better sacrifice comes that will wipe it away. That was the economy of the Old Testament. Romans 5 again, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the sacrifice. And before, death reigns because of Adam's sin. But now life might reign through the death of Jesus Christ, because he died a death that was not his own. Hebrews 9 again, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's not appearing without his own sin, he's appearing without our sin. And we're appearing with him without our sin. That's the glory of it. It's his sacrifice that takes it away. It's the glory of what God does despite our sin, despite our own efforts, despite the things that we do to sew the fig leaves together. But it's that key to remember that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Christ and Christ alone. And so even as if you were a believer here today, we try to cover our shame. No, there is no covering. Go to Christ. Confess to Christ. Be washed in the blood. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so we confess them to him. And we go through and we say, I want to live a life for Christ, not a life for self. That is, stop sewing the fig leaves together and start looking to Christ and following after him. And guess what? You'll need fewer and fewer fig leaves, because he's taking care of you. And the shame grows less and less because of the forgiveness we find in Jesus Christ. And so we point you to him tonight. Amen.